Hi, folks. Welcome to the 54th edition of Weber's Whipping Post, coming to you from rainy Illinois. I'm Weber, and delighted you tuned in to listen. Today's podcast is called The House of Deadbeats. First off, congratulations to two of my daughters for some pretty remarkable achievements. Daughter number three was recently selected for induction to the Central High School Sports Hall of Fame. Shannon was part of the Central cheerleading squad that won the State of Illinois championships. Finally, there will be a Weber mentioned in any honorable capacity at Central. Not far behind that, wonderful news came an announcement that Becky, daughter number two, took a position in the OR department at a Silver Cross Hospital subsidiary at about double her salary from her past employer. Also, a shout-out to three of my grandchildren, Kane, Kaya, and London, for their appearance in the Kankakee Valley Theater production of Seussical. This was Kane's third appearance in a theater production, whereas Kaya and London were making their debuts. It's special to have one grandkid in the play, but three in the same play. And while I'm handing out congratulations, I might as well include golfer Scottie Scheffler at winning the Masters last week. This will be his second green jacket from the venerable event. More importantly, at least in my mind, is the fact Scheffler hasn't had a round of golf over par in 2024. Can you imagine how difficult that must be? Would you believe I haven't had a round under par since I have never had one. Sadly, that's where the good news ends, folks. What a friggin' messed up country we live in today. Stay tuned for more and I'll tell you. How about our chicken shit U.S. senators? The House walked over to the Senate in some big shot ceremony to hand deliver articles of impeachment against that Homeland Security Director, Alejandro Mayorkas. I personally would have preferred that had that Cuban's head on a platter rather than some silly impeachment notice, but that isn't going to happen in this crazy state we find ourselves in. We are being inundated, overwhelmed, attacked, flooded, engulfed, and overcome with illegal immigrants at our southern border, which is the responsibility of the moron Mayorkas. After the House voted to impeach the son of a bitch, the Senate just brushed aside the whole affair as if it was just a pecker gnat in their face. Mayorkas should have been stripped naked, doused in honey, and put on a slow boat back to Cuba for the issues he has caused this country. Had he had a spine, he would have stood up to whoever is giving him his marching orders to save the country he has attached his teeth to. You think I have no respect for that son of a bitch? A curse on you, Mayorkas. Strong letter to follow. And speaking of illegal immigrants, did you hear about that Denver, Colorado mayor, Mike Johnston, not to be confused with the ineffective speaker, Mike Johnson, that slashed his own police department budget by $8 million and the fire department by $2 million? Incredibly, he did this so he can fund the new Denver Asylum Seekers Program, which applies to about 1,000 people who shouldn't be here in the first place. Think about that, folks. The son of a bitch cuts services to the people who pay taxes to hand to the people who are here illegally. Is this a screwed-up country or what? But I have more. You have all seen the protest, many turned violent by left-wing loons directing their hissy fit at Israel for protecting themselves from the October attack by people who have more testosterone cells than brain cells. And you would think that we are fortunate that no U.S. soldiers or money was going to Iran. And you would be wrong. Our relaxed enforcement of oil sanctions under Biden continued through October. Yep, your tax money in the billions was sent to the Grand Poobah Ali Khamenei's effort to wipe Israel off the map. Oh, and the 40-plus attacks on our own troops that were sent there after the camel jockeys bombed Israel. And then we sent more of our money to Israel to defend itself. Iran was allowed to export 1.4 million barrels of oil per day, about average from 2023, under Biden's lax policies. Just for the record, that is up 80% that they were allowed under Trump. All this was going on while Biden reduced our strategic oil reserve which weakened this country. The shenanigans by Biden has handed Iran an additional $32 to $35 billion for which they can spend on bombing Israel back into the Stone Age, where we will still then have to pay to protect and rebuild. And don't forget, Biden just handed them $6 billion of our money in return for 5 hostages, not all of them basketball players. It is estimated Iran sends about $100 million of mostly our money per year to terrorist groups. As if all that wasn't enough, know that about 70% of Iran's oil exports are shipped to our real enemy, China. This helps to assist the Russia-China-Iran axis, and we're mostly paying for it. Is this a screwed-up country or what? You can bet your ass none of this would have been happening under a Trump presidency. And when I was typing the notes for this podcast, the WordPerfect program rejected my term illegal immigrants, advising me to use the term undocumented immigrants. Screw you, WordPerfect, along with your commie owner, Aludo. Speaking of the camel humpers from Iran, did you see the pathetic launch on Israel last Saturday, a week ago? Half their drones didn't work, and the others fell harmlessly. This was their response to Israel's airstrike a few days before. Of course, this attack came after Biden used his extraordinary oratory skills to say to Iran, "Don't." This term was used throughout the Biden administration. Well, boys, Iran did. To further humiliate America, Biden said he had been clear. Our support for Israel's security is ironclad. At the same time, he allowed Iran to rake in billions from sales of oil to China. What an ass this guy is, talking out of both sides of his pie hole. Biden's mouthpiece has told Biden's media arm that he cut short his time to his Delaware beach house to return to the White House to monitor the situation. It was all about optics, folks. The only casualty from Iran's retaliation was a 7-year-old girl, and she is an Arab, not Israeli. She suffered head injuries, but is expected to recover. That's all the big bad Iranians could do, injure a little girl. They should be the laughingstock of the world, something surely thought of by Putin and Xi. This is a shout-out to the Uber driver that picked me up to take me 30 miles back to my house. On the way, he decided to unload his anti-American political thoughts on anti-Trump rhetoric at me. I sat back quietly, preferring not to walk the 30 miles home. You should have seen his eyes when we pulled up to our house, and the first thing he saw was my flagpole, proudly waving the American flag and the Trump 2024 red flag. I didn't tip him either. Suppose he got the hint to keep his pie holes shut next time? You do business with Bank of America? Can I ask you why? Perhaps you won't after hearing this. Recently, Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach, along with 14 Republican colleagues, fired off a letter to Bank of America head honcho Brian Moynihan. In the letter, they appear to be conditioning access to its services on customers having the bank's preferred religious or political views. Furthermore, he said, your discriminatory behavior is a serious threat to free speech and religious freedom, is potentially illegal, and is causing political and regulatory backlash. Your bank needs to be transparent with and assure us, its shareholders, and others that it will not continue to debank customers for their speech or religious exercise. Bank of America, of course, has denied services to gun manufacturers, distributors, and sellers, as well as fossil fuel producers, contractors for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, known as ICE, and private prisons. The bank was also known to cooperate with the crooked FBI and U.S. Treasury to profile conservative and religious groups as potential terrorists. Moynihan, lacking the balls to answer, engaged the lackey to say, no, he didn't. It was known he was lying as his mouth was moving. This is not the first kerfuffle with Moynihan. Even Bernie Sanders criticized him back in 2012. Moynihan was instrumental for arranging Bank of America receiving a $1.9 billion tax refund, claiming no federal income tax in 2010, despite making $4.4 billion in profits. You must wonder how much of that money went in his and the other board members' pockets. Plus, they also pledged over $1 billion to Black Lives Matter executives so they might buy houses all over the country. Hey, this podcast is brought to you by Hoffman Chiropractic Neurology, celebrating 30 years in practice. Dr. Hoffman specializes in general musculoskeletal conditions, neurology, sports injuries, acupuncture, electrodiagnostics, and comprehensive wellness management. Dr. Hoffman provides exceptional care for patients of all ages, from infants to the elderly, from expectant moms to athletes. Dr. Hoffman's goal is to provide all patients with a tailored treatment plan based on an extensive history, a thorough exam, and x-rays. Contact Hoffman Chiropractic Neurology for more information or to schedule an appointment. That number is 815-937-0446. First Duane, then Barry, followed by Butch and Greg, and now Dickie Betts has gone on to the rock and roll heaven. I'm talking about the death of Allman Brothers fellow founder Dickie Betts. Only Johnny Johnson remains as one of the original members of perhaps one of the greatest rock bands to have ever performed. Betts died last Thursday in Osprey, Florida. He was 80 years old. Cause of death was attributed to cancer and COPD. Betts had been kicked out of the band in 2000 due to alcohol and drug use. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. From that point, he formed the band Great Southern. Rest in peace, Dickie. You will be missed. There are a couple of other obituaries to tell you about. Former Chicago Cubs pitcher Ken Holtzman died last week at the age of 78. I remember Ken well as a member of the Cubs when he pitched a no-hitter against the Braves in 1969. I was a wee lad sitting at a St. Ann bar watching that game with my grandfather. It should be noted he, Holtzman, was part of four World Series teams, although none were the Chicago Cubs. Then former Yankees, Indians, and Rangers pitcher Fritz Peterson died last week also, and he was 82. Not well known, he was a decent pitcher with 133 lifetime wins. He had the lowest ratio of walks per inning pitch for any southpaw in history since 1920. What Peterson was most well known for is when he swapped wives and kids with Mike Kekich in 1973. How does one start that conversation? They not only swapped wives, but also the kids. Depending on how one looks at it, Peterson kept his new wife, Susan Kekich, but the marriage for Kekich to Marilyn Peterson did not last. And then came news that four-time Pro Bowl quarterback Roman Gabriel died last Saturday. In the NFL for 16 years, he won the MVP in 1969 for the Rams. And finally, there was the death of former football running back Orenthal James Simpson, OJ, who died a few weeks ago in Las Vegas. I probably don't need to rehash the legal battles, including the accusations he killed his wife, as we have heard all about every detail ad nauseum, including that ridiculous police chase. There was a hilarious meme going around right after he died that said, "I wish OJ had been married to Hillary Clinton rather than Nicole Brown." I have been a staunch critic of OJ since his non-guilty verdict. In my mind, OJ had done it. Then, when news of his death surfaced, I was given information that might have altered my thinking somewhat. I sometimes golf with a man we'll call Bob in Arizona that was a TV sports personality and is the owner of numerous Guinness Book of Records for his incredible golf exploits. In his 80s now, he still uses his golfing talents to raise money for various children's organizations and is a devoutly religious man. I look up to Bob and feel honored to have met him. He states he knew OJ well as they spent a lot of time together back in the day. In his mind, he firmly believes OJ did not murder his wife, but that OJ's son did. Whoa. If this is true, which I am inclined to believe Bob's word, it totally shifts one's outlook of O.J. Instead of being a brutal murderer, he now becomes a father protecting his son at all costs. Obviously, we will never know the truth, but this is quite a paradigm shift.
Weber's Whipping Post will be right back. A.N. Weber Incorporated is a proud sponsor of Weber's Whipping Post. Now in their 76th year, Weber has offices in Kankakee, Illinois, Nashville, Tennessee, El Paso, Texas, and Chandler, Arizona. Whether you're looking for company equipment to haul your dry van or flatbed freight or logistics services for all types of freight or even a career in driving, maintenance, or sales, call Mark Tedford at 815-939-2235. You can also apply online at anweber.com. Weber has immediate openings for drivers in all areas and mechanical technicians in Kankakee, Illinois, and El Paso, Texas. Weber is also looking for logistics agents across the country. Again, call Mark Tedford at 815-939-2235 or apply online at anweber.com. And now, back to Weber's Whipping Post.
Get this, 29-year-old Lakeisha Williams from Houston, Texas, packed her bags and went on a 6-day cruise a few weeks ago. Shortly after she got back, she was arrested. Her crime? The reprobate left her two kids, ages 6 and 8, to fend for themselves at home, alone in a Houston apartment, while she was off partying. She is the new poster child for sterilization of people that have no business having or being around kids. As I live in Arizona part of the time, I am inundated with news of the various pro sports teams in Arizona, while at the same time, the news says absolutely nothing of any of the sports teams spread out over the entire United States. So even though I'm a Packers, Cubs, and a Blackhawk fan, I learned a lot about the Arizona team. One of the teams is the Arizona Coyotes in the National Hockey League. Their top player is a kid named Clayton Keller. Keller was my immediate next-door neighbor, although I never did get to meet him. He lived in a house in Scottsdale with his parents next door to us. We'd see him occasionally driving by in his Ford Bronco. I told you all that to get to this next part. The Coyotes are leaving Arizona, heading north to Salt Lake City, Utah, for the 24-25 season. They are owned by the same couple who own the Utah Jazz basketball team. Smith Entertainment Group bought the franchise for $1.2 billion. American trader Jane Fonda shot off her big mouth again, appearing at a fundraiser against Big Oil in Beverly Hills, California. The liberal loon said that the climate crisis is a manifestation of racism, misogyny, and patriarchy. Those last three words were all woke terms meaning blame white guys. She then apologized to young people for her generation allowing this to happen. Screw you and the horse you rode in, Hanoi Jane. The daughter of famed movie actor Henry Fonda and the ex-wife of gazillionaire Ted Turner, you never had to sacrifice in your whole life, and both your father and ex-husband were white, so you never had an issue riding on their coattails. This is the problem with uber-rich people like her in America today. They have more money than they can spend, but feel guilty about it. So, to ease their consciousness and cleanse their rotten souls, so to speak, they strike out at the very system that allowed them to have all that dough. Rather than just giving the friggin' money away and living paycheck to paycheck like most of America does. She's a narcissistic witch, folks. Whoa, Vietnam plays hardball. 67-year-old Thong Mai Lan, a renowned businesswoman who was at the top of the heap in a real estate empire, was arrested in 2022, accused of fraud amounting to $12.5 billion. Her case finally rolled into a courtroom where she was found guilty and then sentenced to death. Yes, that's right. I said sentenced to death. In this country, where this kind of thing happens all too often, we just stick them in a country club-like prison where we can continue to pay for their upkeep. Bonehead Biden and his babysitter slash wife released their 2023 tax returns, in which the reported income was $619,976. Supposedly, they paid $146,629 in federal tax rate, or 23.7%. They also appeared to have paid the state of Delaware another $31,000. These taxes are consistent with what they have reported for the past 5 years. Makes one wonder how much more was stashed in an overseas bank account that they didn't have to pay taxes. Second banana, Kamala Harris and her sidekick, Douglas Imhoff, reported making $450,299, paying $89,000 federal income tax for a rate of 19.7%. Biden is still pushing for an additional 25% surtax on billionaires. It won't get passed, but it makes Biden look good to the public. Oh, darn, Facebook owner Meta lost $232 billion in market value. When they didn't meet their quarterly outlook projections, the share price declined sharply by 26%, so they started excusing themselves. They blamed TikTok's rising popularity, privacy changes made at Apple, and something called macroeconomic constraints on ad spending. If you understand what that last excuse means, please let me know. I wonder how much Zuckerberg's fortunes declined that day. Do yourself a favor and pull up the video of that elephant named Viola that got loose on the streets of Butte, Montana. Viola was touring with a Jordan World Circus when it was said she got spooked by a car. This caused her to go for a 20-minute walk around town. There is even a photo of her heading toward a casino. Evidently, this is not the first time Viola has escaped her captors and went on a tour of the city she was performing in. It happened in 2010 and 2014. You go, girl. Very soon, the audiobook for Row Me Away will be released. Once released, you'll be able to listen to the story, which I hope will be attractive to truckers. And now for my latest commentary. Quick, name the representative from your district. I'm a political junkie, but I still had to look to see who mine was here in Maricopa County, Arizona. His name is David Schweikert, whom I'd never heard of. In Chabanz, Illinois, where I'm from, it is Robin Kelly. Again, I had to look her up to make sure, as I recall there being some blatant gerrymandering going on in our area a few years back. These two are just part of the collection of deadbeats who go to Washington, D.C. and play games on our dime. Often you will see a pack of them lending moral support while arrogantly standing behind whoever has gone before the microphone to explain their latest costly positions. Having never met Schweikert or Kelly, they very well may not be deadbeats. They may be upstanding individuals lost in the quagmire of the swamp. However, they are now part and parcel of that swamp, and whatever they know about it, they ain't telling. I met Adam Kinzinger once when he was running to be a representative in my Illinois district. Told him a rude joke about Nancy Pelosi that he laughed at. He got my vote. Later, because he couldn't get a position in the Trump administration, he took part in Pelosi's sham J6 committee that hid evidence and imprisoned innocent people. This is what happens when these folks go to Washington. So I am just naturally skeptical about the others. And I still feel guilty about that vote from Kinzinger. Congressional deadbeats presently have an approval rating of 12%, about the same as dirt. Disgraced President Richard Nixon's approval rating never got that low. Inept President Jimmy Carter's rating never got that low. George Santos from New York was recently expelled from Congress. His 13% favorability rating was higher than the collective body tossing him out. Members of Deadbeat Nation are paid $174,000 per year, plus the unconstitutional payout they voted themselves last year of $34,000 for expenses encountered in the swamp. None of the expense must be documented. They all just get the $34,000. This makes their salary, according to my Chabanz Elementary education, to be $208,000 per deadbeat. They are paid higher than 93% of Americans. The deadbeats were in session, working a mere 117 days in the last term. Only 50 bills have been passed under their governance, about half what is normal. They spend as much or more time begging for money to stay in their cushy positions in the swamp than working for us. There are now factions working to funnel more salary to Deadbeat Nation. In the forefront is the Washington Compost and Business Insider magazine. Methinks these organizations were put up to it by deadbeat members of Congress, but as I've often said, my dad called me a suspicious bastard. Then there are the current and former members of Deadbeat Nation who have filed a lawsuit against the government claiming to be suffering from unconstitutional reduction of retirement pay. They are unhappy because their salaries or pensions don't keep up with inflation. Nobody else's does, but shut up. The aggrieved deadbeats think $753,000 will make their hurt go away, plus a bump to pay the taxes this windfall will bestow upon them, over $200,000. The suit includes Representatives Rick Crawford from Arkansas, Rodney Davis from Illinois, Tom Davis from Virginia, and Ed Perlmutter from Colorado. Ken Cuccinelli is the lawyer representative, so you can bet there is a boatload of our cash coming his way. Information is hard to come by, but Deadbeat Nation may have grabbed a cost of living adjustment for themselves in the last spending bill. This would be the spending bill they enacted at the deadline while screaming the government was going to shut down part number 762. The Senate originally blocked the COLA effort, but Deadbeat Nation removed such silly language. So, if I'm correct, a deadbeat salary will be bumped 8.7% or $15,138. These are the people that control the country's pocketbook. Their spending has been instrumental in the dollar losing 20% of its value in the last 3 years. Recall our nearly $35 trillion debt, much of which can be laid at the feet of decades of deadbeat congressmen malfeasance. Deadbeat Nation should be mandated by law to curb spending to reduce debt. A combination of a devalued dollar and a colossal debt is precisely what is needed to destroy this nation as a world leader. It feeds into a new world narrative as well. We must remove the deadbeats. Folks, I added a new section to the Weber's Whipping Post site. It's called Short Stories. It can be found on the drop-down box of my blog section. There are already two stories for your viewing pleasure. Hey, if you like this podcast, please tell others. If you would like to advertise on this podcast, please let me know. I will also get your ad on several ATMs across the nation. Just email me for more details. Keep safe and bye for now.